Welcome to this episode of the Building Texas Show. I'm back in Austin, Texas, with my friend Luis Martinez, who has been on the show before. And I'm excited to come back to Capital Factory, Luis, and talk about entrepreneurship, ecosystem building, and everything that Luis is doing across the state. So, Luis, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Justin, for the opportunity to come back and visit the show. It is great to kind of come back a couple of years later and give an update on some of the activities and the work that we've been doing, as well as engage in a deeper conversation about some of the interesting topics that you've been covering in your show, as well as the new directions as we look into sort of the beginning of 2026 and on towards 2027, 2028, and 2029.
So Texas is growing. We were talking about that before the show, and we're seeing a lot of excitement in Texas for companies coming here, but our startup ecosystems are continuing to thrive as well. What does that look like from Capital Factory, from downtown Austin? What are you seeing in the startup ecosystem?
What an exciting time. It is extraordinary to Austin as a case example of being in a top five, top 10 nationally, internationally venture ecosystem. Austin, if you take a look at the amounts of dollars that were committed in sort of VC fundraising across the board in 2025, Austin placed five nationally. It's a solid five, something on the order of like close to $8 billion were devoted in VC funding for startups across the city. Statewide, we just creeped up to close to $20 billion across the state. Houston came in second statewide. Dallas-Fort Worth came in third. It's been really extraordinary. Some people thought 2024 was going to be hard to top. 2025 just kind of blew everyone away. With the momentum that we're seeing for 2026, it's going to be, as the youngins say, a banger year. It's just going to be a banger year for VCs. In Austin, what's been interesting about Austin, and other folks have sort of used this term, it really is the sort of combination of bits and atoms. It's this combination of both software and traditional kind of tech, but more importantly, hardware. We're very excited about our portfolio companies, and we're very excited about the industry overall. If you think about the impact around automation and so robotics, and so humanoid robotics is something that's been very interesting. And that's got both a software component as well as a hardware component. If you think about sort of the total addressable market of all human labor, and the opportunity to provide automated systems to be able to do that. We're seeing an impact of that, obviously, as you see Waymo's beginning to take over the state and sort of driving self-driving cars all over the place. Obviously, Tesla is going to be moving in that space very soon. There are other players in that space. And so we're very excited about automation, robotics. Another really exciting emerging industry that has its center in sort of Houston as well as Austin, and then the good folks down in Brownsville and the folks over in Midland, is space. We are very bullish on space, excited that in 2026 there's going to be the inaugural Space Summit that's going to be taking place here in San Antonio in September, that's going to help assemble the space companies that are doing amazing things here in Texas, folks like Blue Origin, folks like Intuitive Machines, and folks like Firefly that are building rockets. We've got the two commercial space companies that are in Texas also happen to be the only two companies that have landed on the moon. And Intuitive Machines have done it twice. And so this excitement around space is another area that I think is red hot. What's really extraordinary about Texas is Texas has always been number one in energy. And as you think about energy writ large, Texas continues to be a dominant player in that. Traditional sources of energy, oil and gas, huge drivers of sort of the Texas economy, huge drivers of we continue to see innovation. We'll see an additional alternatives, obviously, with the great investment that Texas has made in solar as well as wind. And we're very bullish on the opportunities around nuclear, both traditional kind of SMR, kind of fission, the kind of excitement that's happening around fusion. It's been great to see the state overall really embrace sort of nuclear energy and the opportunities that are there. That's driven by another really interesting kind of driver, which is AI and the build-out of data centers, the build-out of how AI is really transforming business on the software side. You need more energy. to have that level of compute. You need more energy to launch rockets into space. You need more energy for those materials. You need more energies for the influx of people that are coming into the state. And then a final sector that's been really exciting for us that I'm privileged to help lead with the firm is what we've been doing around healthcare and life sciences and biotech. Still, the level of sort of activity is happening on both coasts in San Francisco, San Diego, as well as in Boston and New York and New Jersey. But it's been really extraordinary to go to the annual JPM conference for healthcare in San Francisco. And in every conversation, when I mention I'm in Texas, when I mention we're interested in the work that we do in Texas, is having our co-investment partners, other biotechs, that are saying, wow, like, we've got collaborations with folks at MD Anderson. Oh, my goodness, we're talking to folks at Baylor College of Medicine. Oh, my goodness, we're doing clinical trials at UT Southwestern. And so that kind of excitement and energy that's happening in those sectors is extraordinary. And then lastly, and I know I mentioned the last one was last one, but this may be the last one. And it really does capture this aspect of Austin around software, but more importantly, hardware, is a whole range of other hardware that isn't necessarily just space or robotics. And so the wide range of industrials, if you think about chemicals, chemical manufacturing, if you're thinking about biomanufacturing, if you're thinking about automotive and the kind of incredible center of gravity that you have around automotive, around transportation, from Dallas up 35, down through Austin, San Antonio, all the way down into the valley, and that kind of entire ecosystem and infrastructure on automotive, but you can also think about aerospace as well, flight, drones, autonomous vehicles, autonomous systems. It's an exciting time to be doing the work in Texas. We're seeing a reflection of that as Texas continues to attract people from all over the United States, all over the world to relocate here in the state, and the kind of level of innovation that we're seeing from Texas-born, Texas-based entrepreneurs that are going off and building boldly. So I am bullish on Texas. I am bullish on the kinds of ways in which Texas will be embracing the 2020s and the 2030s and how we will be a global leader, if we aren't already a global leader, in a wide range of sectors in hardware, software, and a variety of other areas.
Well, I like your comment about nuclear, and I will say I was talking to the mayor in Pampa, Texas, and he is very proud of the Pampaplex, the cities around Pampa. But they are working on coolants. One of their companies is working on coolants for these data centers to help them be more efficient. And that's brought around a little bit of a boom in Pampa. And then we've got the nuclear data center going into Amarillo that's getting a lot of headlines right now. So it ties back in. But my question back to you, and you've been looking at this academically and professionally for your career, what is attracting people to Texas? What is the heart of this growth in Texas that we're seeing?
This is something the state promotes, and it's something that is an attractant to us, is the sort of taxation kind of structure that we are here in the state. When you compare kind of personal income taxes, when you compare sort of the taxation burden from the state, that is an attractant to a lot of talent and a lot of folks that are here. That's the first. The second is sort of the regulatory frameworks. It's a lot easier to get something built here in Texas than it is in other places. There are actual real companies that will point to how they went from permitting to actually having something built on the ground and actually up and running and operating, ready for occupancy.
Intuitive Machines and Burns McDonald talk about that really well.
That is a great example in comparison to other municipalities, other localities, where just in that same time period, you're still in studies and permitting. And so those have been sort of factors that have been leading to sort of Texas success. But what I think is in many ways even more important, because that's a great base. That's fantastic. Are two additional factors. The first is critical mass. We have in Texas today, and this has been a great evolution over the last 20 years, over the last decade, a critical mass of established founders, established companies, established startups that have been doing it for 10, 15, 20 years. We've got a critical mass of talent that's gone off and built their first thing and stayed and built their second thing and stayed and are currently on their third or fourth thing. We've got, for example, in our portfolio, a startup founder who's working on her third space company. So it's exciting to have that kind of critical mass of talent, that critical mass of capital that's being reinvested in the state, that's being reinvested, and that is serving as an attractant to other folks to relocate into Texas. So it's more than just, you know, my personal income taxes are zero. It's, oh, my personal income taxes are zero. And there's this critical mass of talent that's in place. And there's the ability to kind of build quickly. And there's the ability to kind of staff and fill the talent to fill those startups, to fill that company. Those have been the, one of the major factors. And then related to talent and related to critical mass is that we're beginning to see sort of state and private dollars that are really helping catalyze and fuel that energy. In the state, like, I think it's really important to call out the transformative power of a playbook initiative known as CPRIT, which has really been working in for the last decade in catalyzing cancer research, cancer therapeutics. And in a very short period of time, it has become the largest funder nationally of cancer research, second only to the National Cancer Institute. And that's right here in Texas, baby.
I had no idea.
Yeah, Texas voters in this last election voted for the establishment of DPRIT, which is for dementia and neurodegenerative disease. Our hope in the industry around life sciences is that this will serve as an additional catalyst to address the development of new therapeutics, new diagnostic, new medical devices for neurodegenerative diseases writ broadly, Parkinsonism, Alzheimer's disease, a whole range of cognitive issues that involve, you know, the ways in which we think, the ways in which the brain works. And so these have been really interesting in the life science space, ways in which public dollars have helped catalyze kind of the range of innovation in those two sectors. And then a shout out to the Texas Space Commission and the incredible work they've been doing in really helping support and catalyze the establishment of space infrastructure writ largely across the state. Those are great examples of how public dollars are going to help de-risk, helping to match, helping to help catalyze. What we're also seeing is public investment dollars, both from Texas-based investors, Texas-based VCs, as well as VCs across the country to see the opportunities to invest in Texas. Challenges, and this is something I'll get on my soapbox on, is that there are more dollars, investment dollars, flowing out of Texas to fund non-Texas-based VCs than there are flowing into Texas-based VCs. And so there's still a need for early stage investment dollars or later stage investment dollars to be invested in VC firms, to be invested in local startup companies here in the state. There's fantastic deal flow. There's incredible talent. The range of kind of angel investment dollars or family office dollars that can go into private companies at that kind of pre-seed seed stage or as limited partners or LPs in Texas-based funds. We've got great institutions that have as part of managing those endowment dollars the opportunity to think about investing in Texas-based funds and Texas-based managers to see those returns come back to the state. So I think those are the combinations. We're seeing investment of both private dollars, and we can always use more. We're thinking the investment of public dollars, and that is a good kind of return on the investment for the state. It is risky, but as you think about how those dollars are going to help build the infrastructure, to build the base, to build a critical mass, we're seeing and will be seeing the returns of that that make me, again, very bullish on the opportunity for Texas and the region.
And then you've had a lot of insight around the defense space in Texas as well. And defense is a bigger industry than I think people realize. With Southern Command was in San Antonio. I think that's a moving target right now. But there's a lot of research that happens in Central Texas for the military. There's a large number of retired flag officers here in Central Texas. So the decision-making and buying power is here. But I've seen the SBIR programs really be a moving target over the last 12 to 18 months. What does defense look like in your mind?
You know, defense is one of these major drivers that is helping drive the revolution in hard tech, frontier tech. There is not a single problem that exists out in the commercial civilian space that also doesn't exist in the military space. So whether those are questions and challenges around logistics, supply chain, whether they're around manufacturing, whether they're around cybersecurity, whether they're around energy,
health and
the
bio.
Military, health and bio, like all of it are focused as well and have a sort of use case in the military. What's interesting in our work that we do with our federal partners, and we're proud to have been working with the Department of War, as well as a whole range of additional federal partners in helping accelerate that investment in startups as well as in early stage companies, is that they don't want to be your only customer. And so this model of sort of the $60,000 toothbrush or the $78,000 screwdriver is not really a model that is in the ways in which people are thinking about those kinds of investments. So you will have an energy solution, we'll use nuclear as an example, that you're going to be applying to a commercial AI sort of data center that'll be behind the meter that'll help supply energy for that data center, and there'll be a version of that that you'll also be selling for a potential federal partner as well. Or you will have a solution to help do diagnostics at point of care for people that are engaging in critical medicine, think about emergency medicine, think about the kinds of ways in which people walk into kind of emergency rooms with whatever the challenges are that drive them to do immediate kind of emergency care. There's a need for that in combat medicine. It's exciting being based in San Antonio and doing a lot of the work that we do in San Antonio, that kind of focal point of military medicine that's in San Antonio, and seeing how it is that that plays out with both sort of a commercial opportunity as well as sort of a military opportunity. Yeah, I mean, there's the additional component with regards to defense that involves kinetics, and those are important ways in the entire sort of supply chain, not only with kinetics, but also if you think about the materials that go into uniforms, the materials that go into hats, the materials that go into the kind of boots that one needs and the kind of protectants that those have. There's a whole range of things about looking at dual use. So we're bullish on dual use. We're very bullish on those ways in which startups can help the national interest and continue to make sort of America and our force the most powerful force on the country in the world. And we're very excited to continue to support those efforts here with Texas as a base. So, yeah, defense is a huge driver of that work here. And we're excited that many of our startups, also back to this attractant, are coming into Texas because of that ease of engaging with the Air Force, with the Army, with the Navy. We're fortunate in our headquarters in Austin to have the innovation teams for the Defense Innovation Unit, for the Army with T2COM, with the Navy, with the Marines, with the DIU, with DARPA. And so it is exciting to be in that kind of mix of that work, of seeing our federal partners have their mission move forward by the kind of innovative, bold startup founders and startups that are addressing that need.
Well, it's been exciting as I've talked to mayors across Texas. I've also talked to Gary Forney with Central Texas Angel Network.
And yeah,
really, it came together in my mind in that conversation with him on how they just launched the Abilene Angel Network and how they're consolidating the back office of these private investors, angel investors, and making it more professional, making it easier to get involved, because we do have Texas investors across the state that may just not know how to get involved in the defense space or in healthcare. And so that it's where I really talk about how do you build these ecosystems. And CTAN, I think, is a good example. There's plenty of other examples, but I'm excited to hear the mayors circling back and saying, maybe we do need to have these conversations locally so that we can be engaged at the regional level and then we can be engaged at the state level. And that seems to be playing out, particularly in West Texas, where they have a demand for growth. Midland, Odessa is really in need of a lot of people to move out there, and they're looking for these entrepreneurs that want to come launch out there. And that's really exciting to see. Lubbock, Amarillo are the same.
Yeah, we've been, we work statewide. We're working nationwide with both our investment partners as well as our startups and our federal and corporate partners. Unlike many EDCs, for us, it's about finding the best place for these founders to be building and to be supporting them in the work that they do. And so, When I talk to founders from out of state and they're like, look, we're looking to launch, like, where should we think about launching? It's like, well, obviously you should be thinking about, you know, the coast, and you should be thinking about, you know, what's happening down in Brownsville. Obviously people want to be very close to SpaceX and that sort of entire supply chain. That's great. There's Port of Houston and they're launching rockets there too and testing rockets. And you can literally be testing a rocket in the middle of downtown Houston, in Houston. But like, there's lots of benefits, you know, there's lots of benefits to being out in Midland and being at that spaceport. There's some great facilities that are available in the Dallas area as well. We're just down the street from Port San Antonio here. There's a great sort of infrastructure around supporting aerospace here. So to help make that connection for founders, where is the best place for them to be connected within the region, is really a critical part of the work that we do. And then to touch on this aspect with regards to angel investors, if you're an investor listening to the show, you should think about having some aspect of your portfolio that you would dedicate to high-risk, high-return investments and consider what that would look like for venture for you. In many cases, there is some sort of resistance to being a direct investor in a company because you may not know the sector, you may not know space, you may not know aerospace. You're excited about getting into that, but like you don't know anything on how to diligence that deal. Fantastic. Be an LP. Many of these angel funds, many funds here are investing as a syndicate, they're investing as a group, or you're sort of delegating that investment authority to an investment committee that's making the investment on behalf of those. It is a great way for people to get their feet wet. It's a great way for people to get an understanding of sort of the venture. And then, yeah, if later on you want to be committing your own capital as an angel and investing directly into companies, that's a great way as well. But one can be an LP for a super long time, get lots of pieces of lots of really interesting companies. And I think that as we see the maturation of that market as an industry, as we're seeing, as to you mentioned, the kind of professionalization that we're having in angel networks across the country, the kind of sense of collaboration that's happening amongst the angel networks. It's interesting in the work that we do. Like, we know all the angel groups. And so love Gary, love C-TAN. A shout out to our good friends at the Houston Angel Network and our great friends at the North Texas Angel Network and, of course, Alamo Angels here in San Antonio. Like, the ways in which these angel networks collaborate in syndicating deals across the state is something that's very powerful. You know, I am, bullish on Texas. I'm bullish as well on the power that individual investors, family offices can have in helping transform their backyard and supporting their region and supporting an industry that they're passionate about. And I think it's certainly something that we're exciting to see that evolution and growth in statewide. So, yeah, this outreach that C-TAN and other angel groups are doing, Alamo Angels is doing this in the RGV, and thinking about expanding those angel networks to these other additional regions by providing this kind of back office operations, the ability to kind of screen deal flow, the ability to support through education, thinking about angel investments and how to evaluate deals is an exciting development going into the late 2020s.
Well, I believe it's where public office should be. Public servants is creating the environment for success. You don't dictate the winners and losers. You can't say, move here and we're going to pay you. You have to have been doing the work as a location, a region, to become a spaceport to attract that talent. You have to be putting in the infrastructure to receive a data center in the future. Castroville is a great story where they ETJ'd one of the data centers into their municipal electric company. That's huge foresight from public servants that then creates the environment for these investors or family offices to say, that could be something here, or that is a great fit for somewhere across the state, but I believe in it, and I think the environment is right for success. And when you can be surrounded by peers and other people that are experts in that field, you're bringing expertise in your field, that collaboration goes a long way in making sound investments on good diligence that really does matter. And I think historically we were setting that up and building it, and now it's here. I think that yes. It's maturing to a point where if you're not getting good diligence on the deal, you're not in the right room, because there are very talented groups that are doing diligence on these companies. And I think we're seeing more and more success because we're putting founders onto a track for success. They're finding local and follow-on funding. They're finding a already built spaceport ready to do their kind of work. Or they're finding a healthcare facility or a health research lab that's ready to take something from UTSA and commercialize it, or UT Austin and commercialize it. And there's a lot to be said about that commercialization program that continues to evolve.
Yeah, but it's still hard.
Yeah.
If I can put my sort of founder advocate hat on for a little bit. Being a founder is like the hardest thing one will ever do in their entire life, ever. Like, it is not the path for the weak-hearted. It is not the path for those that are shying away from doing things that are difficult and hard. Like, it is really hard. And it is even harder now because it used to be, sure, you might be competing against other founders in your city for capital, for customers, for resources, or maybe even the state. Like, it is a global marketplace now. And, like, how's your idea better than the other person who's doing this in San Francisco, and the person who's doing this in Boston, and the person who's doing this in New York? And, oh, by the way, there's a person in Berlin who's doing it as well. There's a person in Beijing who's doing it. There's a person in Sydney, Australia, who's doing it. And, oh, don't forget, there's a person in Delhi that's doing this. Like, you know, like, this is really hard. And you're competing for talent. You're competing for dollars. You're competing for resources internationally. Unfortunately, you know, and I've been in this business now for over 20 years, the rapidity of how fast you have to be building, the speed and velocity that you need to be executing now at this stage in 2026, especially as we see the transformative power of AI and agents and being able to kind of really leverage how it is that software now can get stuff done, is part of the reason it's still super hard. And I think many founders will say, and I need to honor and amplify this kind of message, there are just not enough people willing to take that risk with me, either as customers, as pilots, as co-founders, as advisors, but as investors as well. And, you know, sorry, founders, it's not your fault. The bar for what's required at earlier stages at investment is higher and higher and higher. Those goalposts have moved. They are getting that bar that you have to cross at an earlier stage is now what you would have been doing at the next stage or the stage after that. That's where we are today. And so you're setting out on a mission to go ahead and, you know, grow crops on the moon. Awesome, right? Let's get behind that. But the kind of traction you have to prove in the kind of competitive environment. And that's where I think that collaborative ecosystem and partnership, similar to what we've been building as a platform at Capital Factory, similar to what we're seeing kind of grow in local municipalities, if you think about the range of collaboration and cooperation that's happening in a place like Austin or that's happening in a place like Houston, and these cross kind of functional collaborations that aren't just Dallas, but they're Dallas and they're Houston and they're San Antonio and they're Bernie and they're Austin. Like, that's where I think Texas wins. Because, sorry, my friends in California, you all don't collaborate really well. Like, you know, people in San Francisco, they might spend a little bit of time in L.A., but you're not really spending any time in L.A. And the folks in L.A., they don't really want to go up to San Francisco. And poor San Diego is just kind of on their own. And so we already have in Texas natural flows of talent, of people, of relationships. You've got your siblings in Dallas. Your kids are going to school in Austin. Your parents still live in Houston. You've got a business partner or a college roommate that took this job in El Paso. Your company that used to be in wherever is now based you in Dallas, which is where you were in undergrad or were in grad school. We already have these flows. Anyone who's got a teenager, anyone who's had a kid who's done UIL, has been to an event in Dallas, been to an event in San Antonio, been to an event in Austin, been to an event in Houston. We've got these natural flows. The networks that are built amongst sort of collegiate alumni networks. And yes, there's the go, 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 rah, 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 football, UT, A&M, but there's also the sort of Baylor networks and the TCU networks and the kind of networks that you have with small colleges at places like Trinity and obviously powerhouses like Rice. Like, the abilities for these alumni and collegiate networks plus the talent networks already naturally make us collaborative. And so I think that's part of the special sauce of what makes Texas very unique. We're already have these relationships, these networks that span just my town, that span just my region, and that expand into other places. And I think that that's where founders, in leaning into those kinds of networks, that you may be coming to Austin because there's great opportunities and a critical mass for you to be in Austin, but your investors and some of your customers will be in Dallas and some of your talent will be in Houston, and you'll be engaging more broadly in the Austin-San Antonio mega region with a footprint or talent or folks that are going to be in San Antonio, that's how we will continue to win as a region. Because in Massachusetts, it's just Boston. And in New York, it's just New York City. And in California, it's kind of bifunctional, right? It's either San Francisco or it's LA. Like, I think we've got the opportunity, as we think about building a statewide network, to think about how what is good for me here in Austin will help build Dallas, and what's good for me in Houston is also a win for San Antonio. Those ways in which we can think more broadly are ways in which both leaders on the political side, on the municipal side, on the state side can get behind and look for prosperity across the state, as well as EDCs, other kinds of government quasi-agencies, universities. These are another reasons why I think I'm quite bullish on Texas, just this natural kind of connective tissue of relationships that we have and networks across the state is really extraordinary.
Well, I think RGV is a great example of that. Talking to the mayor of Edinburgh, the mayor of McAllen, they're both saying it's important that we all work together and support the space industry coming here. And whether they come to Edinburgh or McAllen, it's good for everybody because it's bringing in those dollars it's bringing in. And I think we're seeing the last of the siloed cities that are really saying, oh, you've got to build it here and we're not going to do anything if it's not here. I think we are seeing leaders collaborate and understand that everybody has their special talents. But when we all win as a region, it's a regional win.
Yeah, agreed.
And it's going to drive people to your stores, to your main street, to your higher education, whatever it might be. But the silos, I'm excited to see them coming down for sure. Well, Luis, as we wrap up today, what are you excited about in 2026 in Texas? You all have got a busy calendar. You've got a lot coming on. You've already mentioned the Space Summit coming in September to San Antonio. But what else do you see on your radar?
Well, as a firm, we are... Our strength has always been Texas, and our superpower has always been Texas. Our thesis around being the center of gravity for entrepreneurs in Texas and being that connective tissue across the state of Texas has been sort of a mission that we've been driving towards for the last 7-8 years. What's exciting is the ways in which we're leaning into how Texas is our superpower, but we really are serving as a center of gravity for entrepreneurs outside of Silicon Valley. We have a satellite office in Washington, D.C. We just announced an incredible new initiative around supply chain, American manufacturing, with our partners in Northwest Arkansas and Bentonville. And so the ways in which we can be thinking about startups, technology, founders, capital, government federal partners outside of Silicon Valley, where Texas is part of that special unlock, is something that we're very excited about. The ways in which we're engaging founders and collaborators in Ohio, in Indiana, in Michigan, in Arkansas, in Louisiana, in Oklahoma, in New Mexico, in Kentucky, in Florida, as well as in California and Boston and New York, is an exciting thing that we're excited about in 2026 in helping kind of unlock the ability of Texas to be an incredible part and component of companies' growth, companies' involvement, companies' footprint, companies' investment is something that we're really leaning into. So expanding the work that we've been doing in Texas much more broadly regionally. And it doesn't mean that we're less committed to Texas. It really does mean that Texas is really part of that special unlock, that if you are based in Arkansas or based in Louisiana or based in Oklahoma, that close back to regional networks, right? There's not a single person that I know in Oklahoma that doesn't have a Texas tie. There's not a single person I don't know in Louisiana that doesn't have a Texas tie. Like New Mexico, like, has a lot of Texas ties. And so the ability to kind of reach into the kind of those regional opportunities as founders, as investors, is something that I'm very excited about. That's the first. The second is that as we see this greater connective tissue grow across Texas, that's just, again, being part of this additional kind of engine. And we've been at this work for, you know, 7-8 years, the way that will grow for the next decade, and that kind of unlock as it's coming, you know, the Austin-San Antonio mega region, like, that will be the next anchor of flows of people and capital and companies. And so the three points of the Texas Triangle will be Dallas-Fort Worth, one massive region, Houston, one massive region, Austin-San Antonio, one massive region. I joke that one of the best things about Austin is it's south suburb of San Antonio. Or one of the best things about San Antonio is our north suburb of Austin.
Yeah.
Is really this incredible unlock, especially if in New Braunfels, and if you're in Bernie, and if you're in St. Marcos, and if you're in Buda, like, if you're in all these kind of Kalo communities that are in the hell country between these two centers, like, you will be in a position of it taking advantage of that ecosystem. And yeah, it goes as far north in Austin of Round Rock, and, you know, it goes into Cedar Park, and yes, it's dripping springs. Like, this is something that I'm very excited about, is this emerging not only statewide ecosystem across the Texas Triangle, but also the emerging mega region of San Antonio Austin is something that I'm certain spending the next decade in helping really kind of cultivate and strengthen as we continue to kind of build those ties. With regards to industry sectors, energy will continue to be transformative. Space is going to be huge for Texas. We're very, very bullish on the opportunities around more broadly hard tech that involves robotics, that involves some aspect of AI. There's a whole range of other really interesting technology on the horizon about material science that are really transforming, you know, entire industries, the ways in which things happen. So we're very bullish in those kind of areas overall. Those are the things I'm excited about for 2026. On the investment side, the Q1 numbers for 2026 are beginning to get formulated. It looks like it's going to be a very, 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 you know, barring any massive geopolitical kind of issue, right, it looks like it's going to be a really, really good year for venture and startups again in 2026, especially as one looks at sort of at the macroeconomics of companies that have been private for a while that are lining themselves up for IPOs, the ways in which private companies have really been able to kind of lean in and stay private and continue to build and build and build at a massive scale. For LPs, the kind of distributions and the returns are coming about from these investments. It's exciting to see that come back and flow back into the ecosystem as additional investments. So new VC funds in Texas, established VC funds in Texas, are announcing great closing for Fund 2, Fund 4, Fund 3, Fund 6, Fund 8. And seeing that capital come back into the ecosystem is exciting. And then lastly, really excited about the talent. This generation of developers, engineers, people coming out of college, people who choose to skew college and not go to college and go directly into some aspect of work, fresh out of high school, 18, their drive and their flexibility in being kind of computer AI first, their desire to go build something and establish something of impact, their understanding that you're developing a series of skills and you're developing a set of works and you have a sort of a portfolio of what you do in one place, but that may not necessarily be your forever job. And the kind of speed at which they learn and engage and push and implement, like, I'm very excited about the kind of talent that we have coming up in sort of their 20s and their 30s and in their teens, and how that will help fuel, you know, who we are as a state. We've got to do right by them to be able to provide the kind of education that meets the moment of how we're seeing the kind of revolution that's happening around AI and tech, or the kind of revolution that's happening around manufacturing. But there'll always be the need for humans. There's always going to be the need for human talent, human hands, yeah, human in the loops. And so to be able to train that kind of next generation is something that makes me very bullish about this state and to get me excited. And then lastly, because I haven't mentioned it. Ag is going to be transformative and being transformed as we speak. Huge opportunities in agriculture, in the traditional kind of rural roots of what we have here in Texas around farming and ranching. Really phenomenal solutions around water and ways in which people are addressing the water issues is exciting. We've got this great startup we're working with in Austin that's doing atmospheric water generation, that's doing some really interesting work, that has really found a foothold in Texas and the opportunities here. And then we kind of forget, because we're kind of landlubbers and kind of like in the middle of the state, you know, we have quite a coast as well.
Yeah,
and opportunities in ocean tech and in the oceans. Yes, that involves things like launching rockets from ocean-based platforms, but it also involves a whole range of expertise that we have as a state in deep water oil refining and mining and drilling. We've got this incredible infrastructure that we have that engages in the Gulf around fisheries and a range of other additional industries and shipping. Like, I'm really excited about those two sectors as well. And I think collectively position us as a state to be in an exciting moment for what will be this next millennium.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things happening across Texas. And I appreciate that you brought up Texas A&M has great college campuses on the coast that are great if you want to go into medical, you want to go into research and ocean activity. It's a great place to be, and that's Texas as a whole. Wherever you want to be, whatever you want to be doing, if you spend some time peeling back the curtain, you can find the region or the city that's working on it, and they will embrace and invite you out. Midland, Odessa wants you to move there if you're ready to work. And same with Lubbock and other places where we're also seeing that population shift out of the triangle and find a new home. But it's an exciting time in 2026. I'm thrilled about the work that you're doing with Capital Factory and that you've led for a long time. And I appreciate you spending time with us and talking about all of the great things that are happening that are building Texas.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to come back and chat some more. Happy to come back on another even year in 2028 and have a follow-on conversation about what the last 2 years have been. But thanks so much again for the opportunity and excited about the work that you're doing and helping tell these stories and helping sort of continue the dialogue. And congratulations on your success, Justin. It's great to see this pod evolve and grow.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thanks so much. You too.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Vote Like a Texan. Please remember to like and subscribe and check out votelikeatexan.com.